It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stagflation. We're not there yet. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. That rip-roaring U.S. economy with all the hiring that comes with it, imagine what that means for gross domestic product, a key measure of growth. Well, in what could be a possible plot twist, forecasters are expecting some growth in GDP, but when the number covering January to March comes in this morning, it could look meager. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, partly because manufacturers can't keep up, David. The median forecast is for about 1% annualized growth for the first quarter of this year. The range is pretty wide, though. Some estimates are calling for a contraction of about 1.5%, all the way to growth of about 2.5%. No matter what, though, it'll be a slowdown from late last year when the economy grew at a pace of almost 7%.
So a slowdown, yet the Fed is fixing to raise interest rates again next week?
Awkward timing, right? Well, inflation isn't slowing, and Fed officials have signaled that tamping down inflation is now their goal. If you have a slowing economy and inflation overshooting 2%, which is the Fed's target, then you have stagflation, which can cause a lot of pain for average Americans. Now, companies could pull back, more people unemployed, but prices still high and rising. Now, we're nowhere near that, of course. The job market is very tight, but those are the kinds of things Fed officials will be considering.
All right, but we're in a different quarter now. Where's GDP headed now, do you think?
Well, among the factors that likely slowed down GDP growth in the first quarter was the Omicron wave. That's abating. People are spending more again, just anecdotally from airlines. We know bookings are way up, even though airlines have raised prices. Same thing for consumer goods. Procter & Gamble, when it reported results last week, said it raised prices. People are still buying. So demand is still strong, fueled by higher wages and lots of savings. Expect the GDP number to improve this quarter. Yet another reason the Fed will likely stay on course to raise interest rates, David.
All right, Nova, thank you. Some see gross domestic product increases as the goal of the economy, but it's really just one measure, and given deep inequalities, it's not a measure of well-being in America. Stock futures are pointing to a very up stock market. S&P futures are up 1.8%. NASDAQ futures are up a little less than 2%. Unilever is one of those companies that makes everything from Hellman's mayonnaise to Axe deodorant. Don't get those mixed up, by the way. Anyway, Unilever raised its prices by 8% last quarter and has now raised its inflation forecast even more for the rest of this year, given war, high energy prices, raw material prices distorted by pandemic, and high labor costs. Let's check the economic pulse today. Data on how Russia's war in Ukraine is sending price shocks through everything from energy to food around the world. Now, this is from a World Bank report this week that finds these higher commodity prices could persist. Let's consult the president of the World Bank, David Malpass. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to, David.
We've been covering this ad hoc, wheat, oil, natural gas, metals, being affected by Russia's war on Ukraine. But you've been gathering more rigorous data here. What's the outlook for these key things?
This has been big increases, some over 30% year over year. And so it's hitting people in the poorest countries hardest, but it also goes along with the other crises that people were facing. It adds up to a very difficult situation.
And it's not particular to first and second quarter of 2022. This is something likely to persist as the year wears on.
It depends a lot on the production around the world. There's a sudden cutoff from Russia of natural gas and of other supplies. The wheat going out of the Black Sea has been a big problem for countries. And so the big variable in my mind is how much new production will come on stream in the major economies. So the U.S., Canada, and China, India.
Now, I didn't need the World Bank to tell me that energy prices are going up, but by your calculation, the last 2 years has seen the biggest jump since 1973, the oil crisis. We're going to have like 1970s-style stagflation around the world? What do we have here?
There could be, and that's a risk, stagflation. That means the combination of slow growth and fast inflation. In the 1970s, the world had been on the gold standard up through 1971, and then suddenly fell off the gold standard. So there was a giant devaluation of the dollar. That's not present now. And so I think there are some scenarios where production will go up, and that will help the inflation rate come down more quickly than what occurred in the 1970s and 80s.
There's been some reporting on a document out of Russia's economy ministry suggesting that with sanctions, Russia's economy could contract 9, 10, maybe 12% this year. But what about Ukraine's economy? Any way to get a sense of the economic damage there?
Both we and the IMF do forecasts on single countries, and so we recently put out a forecast that it could be a 45% reduction in Ukraine. IMF has a slightly smaller reduction, but the reality of it is Ukraine has been invaded and attacked and bombed, and the crops are having trouble getting to market. So this is a giant reduction in the amount of sales of production.
45% could be the contraction in Ukraine. That's an economy cut in half. David Malpass, president of the World Bank, thank you for this.
Thanks.
And the U.S. House of Representatives has overwhelmingly passed a bill to urge the Biden administration to confiscate the yachts of Russian oligarchs, sell them, and use the proceeds to help Ukraine. This had bipartisan support, but it's mainly symbolic, non-binding. Attorney General Merrick Garland will ask Congress for more formal authority to seize Russia-linked assets. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.